the show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website, www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/LalisaWilliams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, and welcome to the show today. Good morning to you. Well, I tell you, another day. I hope you're ready to go. Get ready. This is an awesome, wonderful day. Great things, and I'm telling you, great and exciting things are going to happen for you today. But you gotta expect it. Your level of expectation will determine the things that will happen for you today. If you wake up expecting something great, something wonderful, something awesome, I mean, just feel it within yourself. Think it. Have your thoughts all centered around something great happening to you. I'm telling you, from the moment you open your eyes, give God thanks for what great things He's going to do this day, and then start your routine for the day. And let that routine be centered around thoughts of great expectation. Expect the best, and you'll get the best. Expect the worst, and you'll get the worst. Well, good morning. This is your host, Lalisa J. Williams, right here on the Coach Lalisa Show. We're here every Monday through Friday morning at 7 a.m. That's our new time. We moved from 7:30. We began to come on earlier. We thank you for being with us and staying tuned each and every day for your morning motivation to get your day started right. There's so many negative things that are going on in the world around us. You would do yourself well to start your day off with motivation. You know, there are things that are going to happen that bring about tragedy for people. I just read a comment of a Facebook where a woman, her son, was gunned down by violence, her teenager son. And many of you, you have teenage children. And so you can only imagine the tragedy that it has gripped this woman's heart and her life. And now I've experienced teenage violence myself. So I can absolutely say that lots of things will happen in a given day. But your mindset controls your outcome. It's your mindset. It's your thinking that is going to control exactly what happens. Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. Today is Thursday. Thursday morning. All week long we've been going. We've had some powerful sessions right here going deeper and talking about goal setting, goal achievement, achieving our goals. We talked about the hard work that you have to put in. It's hard work, but after a while, it won't seem like work at all. We're also going to talk today a little bit more about how you have to set yourself up with positive expectations. You have to get your expectations in line. Positive expectations. Also, we had on Wednesday yesterday, Mr. Versi L. Walker was here with us, a powerful speaker and motivational teacher. He travels around the country and even internationally giving speeches at commencements and different events, keynote speaking. He's a great friend and supporter. He's also a dynamic author of the book Success, How I Ended Up Here. He's here on the show each and every Wednesday. He comes and co-hosts the show with us and brings us another topic to help clarify your goals, your dreams, your aspirations, the things that you want to accomplish and to achieve. Now, let me repeat this again. This show, the Coach Larissa Show, is not for the faint at heart. This show, and good morning also we have in the chat room, Mr. J. Good morning, morning, Mr. J. And also Mr. Coach K. Good morning, and welcome. Talking today about how we have to have the power of our expectations. You have to have the great expectation first and foremost. That's like you're thinking. What you're thinking about. What do you expect from today? Because guess what? The reality is, and I know this is part of the secret and has to do with the law of attraction and all of that, but it's real and it really works. What you expect is what you're going to bring about in your day. If you expect, again, I will say again, if you expect the worst, you're going to get the worst. If you expect the best, you'll get the best. But when you expect greatness, when you expect supernaturally, when you expect things beyond your own comprehension, that's what you'll get. Something will show up in your life that you could not have even imagined it. You could not have thought it up. You could not have dreamed it up. There was no vision. You could not even envision. There are a lot of things that happened in my life that, yes, I had a vision for it. But there are many things that happened that there was no vision. So how do you change from a lifestyle of where you were only expecting, well, whatever comes my way? Well, we're going to teach you today how to change your expectation, how to set yourself up for greatness, for great things to happen to you. I'm going to tell you there's a couple of things that you have to work on. There's a couple of things that you have to work on in order to change your level of expectation so that great things are happening. Whatever it is that you want. You know, yesterday, I believe that was September the 8th, was a great day for me. It was a great day. And Mr. Walker was on the show yesterday morning, and he made a comment, and I had mentioned how he asked me, I guess, how I was doing or something. And I said, I'm doing great. I woke up, and I expect the day to be great. I expect a great day. I don't expect anything to go wrong. I don't expect negativity. I don't expect, you know, my tires to blow out. I don't expect my car to give up. I don't expect anything negative. I expect things to happen that are great. And sure enough, it was a great morning. I had a great drive down to King of Prussia. I went into the office. met with my manager. I like to call her boss lady, my boss. I went in to sit down with her to do my performance appraisal. It was great. It was. I had not even expected that because my boss is like a poker player. You can't always read her messages from her expressions. So, yes, you work hard and you think you're doing the right thing, but, you know, when you're not getting the various accolades along the way, you're not quite sure. So now, one whole year later, and, you know, our company, we went through a lot of transitions. So I sit down. So that was great. And I left out of her office feeling on top of the world as it relates to my job. Now, and then I left there. I had a great drive back to Newark, and I went into Essex County College where I teach my junior college class. Business 101, contemporary business, where we focus on things like just understanding the dynamic environment of business, understanding profits and risk, understanding marketing and human resources and production, those and how the government impacts business. Those are the main areas that we focus on, right? So here I got 20-something students, 22 or 3 students, sitting there at night, 6:45 at night. The class meets from 6:45 to 9:20. They're sitting there, and I'm looking in the faces of these 20-something, 22 or 3 students, various ages, and I go around and I ask everybody what kind of jobs they do, where they work, things like that. And it was so funny, and there was one young girl, she was so embarrassed, and I was applauding her and celebrating her because she still lives at home with her parents. She doesn't have a job. She's never worked a day in her life. And, you know, I had her laughing because I made a big deal out of it. I said, oh, you must be rich. Congratulations. That's wonderful. You know, I wish I could trade your life, that kind of thing, because she really, everybody else has jobs and working and what have you. But what I realized there, standing in front of that class, It was another part of a great expectation, because one of the expectations as a professor is that you have students who are ready to learn, who want to learn, who come there hungry. And I can honestly say these students were up on their chair. They were ready. They wanted to hear what's next. What do we have? And this is only day one. And so I say, but I was expecting from the top of the morning, something great to happen. And I want you to start doing that each and every day. Wake up and expect something great. Don't worry about what it is. You know, people, you have to stop worrying. You know, I find that people worry too much. They worry too much. If you really want to live a life of fulfillment and happiness and joy, satisfaction, I mean totally satisfying, you've got to stop worrying. You know, the famous Mr. Dale Carnegie, he wrote the book, How to Stop Worrying. You know, you got to live. How to live your life and stop worrying. You've got to stop worrying. It's not, you just don't do it. Just stop it. Because worry is a wasted effort. The very thing you're worried about, you could spend that time on the solution because you can't do anything about it for the most part. Worrying won't help is what I'm saying. So here I am, but before I even get up to my classroom, I'm going through the hall. I see a professor, Dr. Calfani, who runs the Africana Institute at the college, where I held an event there 2 years in a row featuring Dr. Dennis Kimbrough, but I haven't done it in a couple of years. It's the Wealth Strategy Symposium that, you know, God gave me that to put that together, and I did it for 2 years. So I ran into him. He says, oh, hey, Dr. Calfani, how's it going, blah, blah, blah. We had our small talk, but I left it with him saying, not only give me a call, because people sometimes, if they give me a call, you may never talk to that person again. But not only that, we actually set a date for us to meet and to talk about doing the conference again. And they're celebrating their 10 years. So again, I woke up with what? great expectations, and so far, I'm telling you about several things that exceeded my expectation. Again, in my mind, I was going to get a good evaluation. No, I got a great evaluation. Why? Because it did not only address, yes, things that I've done and what have you, but my boss, for the first time, I'm over 50, I'll just leave it like that, and I've had many jobs in many companies, from the airline industry to working for a pharmaceutical company to working for retail industry, lots of kinds of jobs I've held. This was my first time sitting down and having a supervisor say to me, where is it that you want to go in this company? And then, here's the great expectation. Here's superseding anything I could have ever expected out of an evaluation. She said, okay, that's where you want to go in this company? It startled me for a minute, y'all, because I'm not used to that question. Okay? But then the next comment was, well, let's help you get there. And I'm talking about actually putting down the timeline for you to get there. That has never happened. That's what I'm talking about. But I believe that all of that happened as a result of my expecting something great. I didn't know what to expect, but I expected something great. So here I am, going through all of that, and then coming home and just having a peaceful, peaceful evening. So I say to you, what is stopping you from allowing you to have great expectations for your day? What voice is creeping into your head telling you that won't happen for me? That's the voice you have to turn off. You have to shut that voice up. I'm telling you, if you want something great in your life, you have to expect it on a daily basis. Now, I can't expect to live today off of yesterday's great expectation. No, I have to wake up today thinking that it's going to be something great. Yesterday's expectations were met, and it's over. It's done with. I can't live off of that. I need something daily. So today, this morning, I have the same thought, the same mindset, the same comment. It's going to be a great day. I expect something great and supernatural to happen today to Lalisa. I'm talking about something off the chart, and you can do it too. A couple of things you're going to have to do, though, if you really, really want to do this. Number one, we must deal with our attitude. Your attitude is going to drive your altitude. You've heard that before. I didn't coin that phrase. It's a pretty famous quote. It's been circulating in the world for a long time. Okay? You have to change your attitude. You have to deal with your attitude. Okay? Your attitude has to be one that is willing to change. You have to be willing to change. Great changes can come to you no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through. You see, there's so much within you. That is why you can expect greatness. It's unlimited, the power that you have within. You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson once said that what lies behind us, you know, that past, the things we've been through, we've all been through stuff, tough stuff, rough stuff, hard stuff, okay? He said, what lies behind us and what lies before us? Again, the things that we want, the things that we think we should have, the things that we think we must do day by day. He said that these are but tiny, tiny matters compared to what lies within us. So let me say that again. What lies behind you and what lies before you are tiny matters compared to what lies in you. That was Ralph Waldo Emerson quoted that. But you can quote it for yourself. In other words, it would sound something like this. What lies behind me and what lies before me are tiny matters compared to what lies within me. And I believe that. That is what prompted me to use as a theme and a title for my book, Release Your Power. 8 strategies for becoming who you really are. Who are you really? And the book will help you to transform your what? Your attitude, your confidence, your self-esteem. It will help you transform your thinking. Most people's problems is their thinking. Their thinking. As my pastor and other people have said, stinking thinking. But you can change your attitude. No attitude is too messed up for change. I was telling the college students this one yesterday. It doesn't matter what you did in high school. That's high school. High school is over. It's in the past. This is now. You're in college now. In college, everything now is driven by your own efforts. In high school, you had to deal with, well, did the teacher like me or not? Maybe I'll, and they worry about a lot of things like that when they're in high school. I said, but in college, the professors, they don't even know you. It's not like school where, they meet you on the first day and they get so intimate with you and blah, 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 blah. No, it's not, college isn't like that. In college, the professor walks in the room, puts out a lesson, you get it or you don't, and you take a test. It's very simple. So your own effort, and the teachers, they barely see you. Some colleges, the classrooms have 200 and 300 and 400 students. They don't even know your name. They don't even know your name. It's your effort, your effort, your effort, your effort. And so, again, expectations will drive. They're the driving force. You want to be driven. You want to be motivated. You want to be directed, self-directed. In other words, you have the power to get up. You have the power to motivate yourself. Just like Ralph Waldo Emerson said, what lies within you is powerful than your past. Yet your past will help to position you for your future if you let it. In other words, even a tragedy, a great and powerful tragedy, can drive your future success. Some people, it's really amazing how this works, but it just does. As I was driving back from King of Prussia yesterday, my cell phone rang, and I noticed it was from my niece. And she doesn't call me that often, once in a blue moon. Every now and again, she'll contact me on Facebook. But nonetheless, she calls me up, and we had a long conversation, because it's about a two-hour drive, about her expectations. That's what we were talking about. I was trying to show her how the things that she was complaining about in her life, they're the things that she's expecting. If you expect bad things to happen to you, guess what? They will. If you expect great things to happen for you, they will. It's very simple. It's a law. You can't change it. You can't will it away. It's a principle. It just is. You just have to adjust to it. You have a choice to make. Either you will or you won't. All of life is a choice. You make the choice. Either you come to class or you don't. Either you study or you don't. Either you start the business or you don't. And so we had a great time in class last night. I came up with something brand new, something that's never been done before. I'm telling you, my day was just over the top with things that were just happening to me beyond my imagination. Thank you so much, Mr. Walker, for that powerful message. Beyond my imagination, things were happening, from the performance review from my boss, and it wasn't just a performance review. It was the fact that she said, what does little Lisa want? I've never had that question asked to me in all the jobs I've ever had. Never. from, like I said, I've worked from Continental Airlines to Sharing Plow. I've worked in Dressborn, major companies. And they never asked me what I wanted to do on that job. And then to tell me, let's make it happen. I walked out of there. I was all, you know, almost numb because it's like, wow, I really get what I want on a job? That's almost unheard of. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I was telling my students about work and what have you, and we were talking because it's a business class, so we can talk about business. I told them how, because I let them all talk about where they work, what they do, and why they chose the major of business. What did they expect to get out of the class? And when they were, when they wanted to know what I did. So I told them that I was an adjunct professor, which means we're part-time. We only, you know, we don't get, you know, benefits from the college, and we only work a few hours. And I said that, but I also have a full-time job, but I also have a couple of businesses. And I said, then the reason that I have a full-time job and a couple of businesses, that I would don't prefer to do it that way, I said, but my businesses are very flexible businesses. They're not a, you have to be in a place 9 to 5 to run my, I don't have to be, it's not like a store or a restaurant or that kind of business. My business is one where, you know, I may go weeks without getting a phone call offering me a speaking engagement. I told them I was a motivational speaker and a coach, and so I can't sit around at home waiting for my phone to ring. It's just, that's not going to happen. For me, it could, but there was a woman, when I left Essex County College, I was associate director of a college-bound program. I did that for 4 years, an awesome job. I loved working with those 7th and 8th graders, helping to encourage them to stay in school and then to go on to college. I did it for 4 years. When my students got there, they were in the 8th grade, and I made a commitment that I would stay with them to grade 12 because I understand how kids are very, they get attached to you really, really quick, and when you're gone, they think it's the end of the world, so to speak, and I don't want to do that to any child. So I made a commitment to stay on that job 4 years, and God allowed me to do it, so I thank God for that. But when I began to do my public speaking, there was a one of the, she's the head of the Education Association for the Essex County chapter, and she had hired me to speak, and she had recommended me to speak some other places, and you know, she was very encouraging, and she said to me, Ms. Ruth Higgins, and she said to me, Lalisa, don't quit your day job until your telephone is ringing off the hook, and I always kept that with me, and so even though I left that day job, because that day job required me to work on Saturdays. It required me to go out of town with the children and some other things, and I wanted a more flexible kind of job, and plus I wanted to move more into training and that kind of work. So I left there, and but I took another job part-time working and what have you, and then that part-time job turned into a full-time job, which is the job I have today. I initially went there just to volunteer. So here I am there as a training coordinator. But my point in saying all of that is that was beyond my wildest expectations, and I was sharing with my students that I work there full-time because my businesses are not full-time, and my job is flexible enough that when I need to take off to go for a speaking engagement, I can, and therefore I can still help out, you know, with some things. But I'm saying all that to say, you have to change your expectations. Same thing with my employer. It was no accident that this person said to me, what is it that you would like to do in the company? And, okay, let's make it happen. It's no accident because I woke up that morning and I said, I expect something great to happen to me. So greatness had to come, and that's what I'm trying to tell you. You have to expect it. Great things to happen to you by way of your children. If you have children, expect your children to come to you today with something phenomenal, something different, something great, something you've never heard before. Expect your coworkers to do something different. Don't go to work. Listen, people, let me help you. Don't go to work and expect people to do what they've always done. Because if you do, they will. go there and expect. Call them out by names. You know their names? Call them out. Johnny, Sarah, whatever their name is. Expect Sarah to do something different. But if you expect her or him to do this or this or that, oh, this person never does this. This person, if you say this person never does this, or if you say this person never does that, well, guess what? That's exactly what's going to happen. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. We must wake up with a great expectation. If you want something great in your day, I'm telling you, you want to really live a life of fulfillment. You want to live a life of joy and happiness. You want to live a day where every minute of that day, you're excited because you're like, okay, what else is going to happen to me? What other thing great is going to come my way? I'm telling you, today I'm expecting all kind of great things to happen. And so tomorrow I'm going to be able to report some things that happened, you know, that I had no idea, but only because I'm expecting greatness. Now I want to know, what are you expecting great? Now remember that journal that you started. We started a journal, Mr. Walker, we started a journal last week. I've asked people, and I know some people have been faithful to that journal, and I know some people have not. I encourage you, take the time. I know Miss Patricia, she went out and bought a special journal just to make the journal entries. See, the journal entries will help you get excited about your life. That's number one. You've got to get excited about your life. How are you going to get anyone else excited about your life if you're not? You're not going to get your customers to be excited about your life. You're not going to get your workers, your coworkers, your boss. You see, I have my boss excited about what Lalise is doing. That's what was so amazing in the performance review for me. I mean, I'm not a perfect employee. Don't get it twisted. Not by a long shot. You know, I had some areas that I needed to work on. There were a few things that I had taken for granted. But the upshot of this thing is, because I'm able to carry such a high level of excitement about my life, it's perceived, she taught me that it's perceived to other people as something worthy of having and being around. It was like, in other words, like, we're glad you're here, because people, believe it or not, they want excitement, people. Why do you think our young people are getting in a lot of trouble? They want excitement. That's why they don't want to go to a boring classroom with some boring teacher and some boring situation. Now, I know I taught the other few days, I was telling you that the person is bored. But some people, you can make the situation boring for people. But you can also make it exciting. You can make your life so exciting that people will actually enjoy being in your presence, being around you. Customers will love, they won't even know why they're attracted to your business or why they're attracted to you. So you can do it. You can do it. I know you can. I know you can. You have to set the goal. We talked about goal setting. So I'm going to finish up, though, with this, talking about this great, I'm telling you, I'm so psyched about this. I mean, I've talked about it for, you know, years going back. You know, we've talked about you got to expect the unexpected, especially when we deal with the Lord. We know, listen, you better expect great things from the Lord, and he will meet your expectations and supersede them. But somehow I'm in a new place with expectations. Something happened on yesterday when I woke up, and I just said, you know, out of nowhere, I expect this to be a great day. In other words, I didn't let bills, and I didn't let the bad economy, I didn't let the poor economic times that we're in, I didn't let anything get me down. And there are things that are happening around me that I can easily succumb to and say, oh, this is going to be another horrible day because of blah, blah, blah. No way. No way, Jose. And I'm so glad that you got to hear it firsthand when I was on and introducing Mr. Walker, and he asked, well, we were kind of kicking it back and forth, and he said to me how I was doing, and I said, I'm having a great day. And that, I'm telling you, that started it. And I'm telling you, my whole day just was phenomenal. I'm telling you something I could not have even imagined, could not even expect it. And there were even more things that happened in between there. But I would just share that. But this is the thing. I want it for you. I want this for you. I want you to have your desires. This is my passion. You know, doing radio, motivational radio, is my passion. And I, being a coach, it's my passion to motivate you, to empower you, to be a motivational speaker. You know, I met Mr. Les Brown back in 1997. I was in a seminar at Essex County College. I've been with the college for a while, and I've had different roles there. I love the college. I think I will work at a college as long as I'm on the earth. I absolutely, and you know, and one of the reasons I do it, because it's an example of how far God can bring you. You know, being a high school dropout who hated school, who never went, who skipped. I mean, I was the queen of skipping. My mother didn't even worry after a while because, you know, it was rare that I went to school, and I don't know how I made it all the way to the 11th grade, but somehow I managed. But back in those days, they would just pass you based on some other criteria, nothing to do with if you passed the test and what have you. I'm sure I did at least one or two homework assignments throughout the entire year. But, you know, so to me, it's so ironic that I'm even on a college campus, period. So that's really one of my driving forces. You remember I said you got to be driven? You got to have driving forces within you to make you do things that you really love. So I love the college, and every semester I say, oh, I'm not going back there to teach, you know, I want to do other things at night. But every semester they call me up, and I'm like, yes, I'm there. When I think about those students and I think about what the college represents in terms of my life. But so here we are. And I'm at Essex County College doing a seminar for the Welfare to Work program. This was in 1997, right after, I believe that's right around the time that Bill Clinton, at the time was President Bill Clinton, had revamped the whole welfare reform movement. Some of you know about that. And they were, everybody that was on welfare could no longer sit at home and collect a check. They had to get up and out and in a program. So one of the first programs that they started like that in the city of Newark was called the AWEP program. And I got hired to be one of the life skills instructors. So I'm down there and I'm instructing. Well, one of the instructors, she belonged to a church of a woman that went to one of Les Brown's seminars. And at the seminar, she asked Les Brown came to a seminar at their church or something, and she asked Les Brown if he would come to the college to speak to one of the groups of women that we had in the Welfare to Work program. Well, if you've been following Les Brown, you would know this was right around the time he had been diagnosed with prostate cancer. And he was pretty bad off. A lot of people don't know how bad off he was and how near death he was, but he was. And it was actually his children and some other people who helped keep him motivated. So all those years of motivating his children, then it was his oldest daughter was enabled to help motivate him back to great health. But nonetheless, here he was at the college speaking to a very small group of maybe 30 people in the room total. Well, when they told me that Les Brown was going to be down off of Washington Street in Newark at the Training Inc. building, let me tell you, I shot out of that college like a bullet coming out of a Magnum 57 or something. And I ran down there. I was in love with Les Brown in terms of motivational speaking. That was my guy. I had to listen. Les Brown, oh, my goodness. So I go down there. I get there. I'm all hot and sweaty and sweating. There's Les Brown, me and Les Brown, face to face. And I'm like, you know, hi, Mr. Les Brown. You know, I absolutely follow you. You know, you're my role model, motivational speaker. I want to be the female Les Brown. I'll never forget telling him that. I said, I want to be the female Les Brown. He was like, he looked at me, he was like, okay, cool, no problem. He was like, well, give me your business card. I'll never forget it. I absolutely could have dropped dead right there. I had no business card whatsoever. I had nothing. I didn't even have a sheet of paper to write it on. I'll never forget how bad I felt. And he looked at me strange as if to say, You want to be a female Les Brown and you don't have a business card? Okay, lady, get out of here, kind of thing. But he was very cordial and nice and whatever. He said, don't ever again leave your home without your business card. And he had to run and get on his flight and all of that. But that was certainly an amazing day for me because, hey, how many people actually get to meet your role model like that, face-to-face? Nobody had set it up other than God. And it was great, and it was wonderful. So I say all that to say that this is what I've been wanting to do for a long time. Now, the way he got to be my role model, and this happening in 1990 is when I first learned, well, somewhere around 87, 88, is when I first learned about Les Brown. He used to come to New Jersey all the time, down at Symphony Hall, and it was only like $20 to get in to hear this great man speak. That's when he was doing his Live Your Dream speech. He used to do a Live Your Dream speech before the book, before the tapes. He used to speak on that topic. And he would come to the Symphony Hall, and, you know, I would see flyers in the hair salon I used to go to, and, you know, everybody was like, oh, prior to moving to, and I had only moved to New Jersey in 87, so prior to moving to New Jersey, I had never heard of Les Brown. It wasn't until I moved here that someone, so you see, our destiny is already set. So anyway, you all, it's been real, it's been wonderful. I tell you, I've been on fire ever since yesterday, even more so than where I've been before, because I'm just outdone about the whole job situation, getting to do the very thing that I thought I was going to have to leave to go and do. I get to do it right there. At the same time, I still get my flexible schedule. I still get to get up every morning from 7 to 8 and do the Coach Releaser show. That is like the best thing. That's like the best thing. Even this morning, you know, I'm getting ready for my vacation in Virginia Beach, so it's like I was kind of hurried. You know, my husband says, it's 6:30, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. So, you know, to get the support from my husband, that is like the best. I mean, okay, you know what? That's really over the top. That's really, really over the top because I'm telling you, we've been through a lot. 20 years of marriage, trust me, it's been a lot. But guess what? He made sure I was up and I was ready to be on the call. And, I mean, he's looking forward to our vacation, Virginia Beach, here we come, 7 long days. Can't wait. I will be doing the show from there each and every morning. So, hey, you're not going to be left without motivation and inspiration. It's going to happen. It's going down right there on the sand of Virginia Beach. I'm going to go around the area. I'm going to pass out flyers. I'm going to let people know about the Coach Lisa show. We have a church down there that we attend every time we go. We've been going to Virginia Beach together on this timeshare for about 12 to 15 years now. And so we have found a church down there that we attend. I can't wait, but it is going to be awesome. But I tell you, I want to get back to the expectations. If you expect something great to happen, something great will happen. If you expect to have a bad day, if you expect to have challenges, if you expect that obstacles will be waiting for you, then, you know, this is amazing to me about people. They expect bad things to happen when they get to work. And I can kind of understand that. I can sympathize with people like that and empathize with them because I was there before. You know, you expect that the boss is going to get on your back. You expect that coworkers are going to be out of whack. You expect that the supplier that you've been trying to get a hold of is going to still avoid, you know, a phone call or something. We've got to get out of the habit of expecting what we really don't want to see. And we've got to get to the place where we want to see what we expect to see, but we got to expect to see what we want to see. Because whatever we expect is what we're going to see. And it starts with changing our attitude. We've got to get our attitude correct. And then we have to work on our confidence. You know, some people just have absolutely no confidence in themselves. They lack the confidence. You have to be confident that your life is going to be great. There's nothing wrong with expecting great things out of your life. You have to change from thinking that nothing good is going to happen for you. Okay? You have to get out of that. All right? You've got to change your attitude. I'm telling you, if you really want to live successful, you really want to live up to your fullest potential, if you really want your expectations to be over the top, and you've got to do it every day, you've got to have some confidence in yourself. You've got to believe in yourself. If you don't believe in you, who will? If you don't believe that you're great and that you're wonderful and that you're powerful, if you don't believe it, who will? You know, some people, you know, they expect other people to do it for them. No, you have to do it. Another thing that you have to work on, and I know many of you are working on that, is you have to work on your motivation. You've got to be motivated. You've got to take the responsibility for motivation. You know, you got to do the things that mean something to you. Do the things that, you know, that are important to your future. Don't just waste time watching television, sitting on the couch. No, get motivated. Get up. Sign up for that class. I was talking to a lady yesterday. She was telling me that she hired a personal trainer. She's motivated now to get someone to work with her, even if she has to put out money. She's motivated. Your motivation will take you a long way. Without motivation, you know, you just sit around and just fluff away without being motivated and driven. You know, the reality is that most people, the main problem with life is them. They're their own greatest problem. I tell you, I learned that the hard way. It was like, wow, Lalisa, get out of your own way. You know, I spent the first 30 years of my life, 33 years, I spent the first 33 years of my life blaming everybody. It's mama's fault, and it's this person's fault, and that person didn't do it, and daddy wasn't here, and this happened, and you didn't have money, and you're born African-American, and all of these people were to blame for everything. You're not smart enough. That's why you dropped out of school. You don't know it. All of these things. No, I have to turn that around. I'm responsible for what I do. I was talking to a young lady yesterday, and I was telling her, I told her flat out, I said, you're a writer. You're an author. You need to write a book. Because I've seen some things that she's written, and it was just a paragraph or so, but I could see her developing that into a story, and I could see that story being interesting. And I told her, I said, you're complaining that you don't have money. You're constantly, and she has a job, and she complains it's not enough. I said, you're complaining you don't have enough, yet you have a gift and a talent that you won't even use that would actually bring you an extra income. You see? Why? Because people, they don't want to realize that, and she says, well, people told me that, you know, my grammar isn't good. I said, good, I'm glad. And I hope you have the names of all those people. Because you're going to write that book, and then you're going to send each and every person who told you your grammar was poor, you're going to send them a personal autographed copy and says, how's this for my poor grammar? You see, most of us have allowed other people to tell us who we're not, okay, and what we cannot do. And that's just, it doesn't really mean anything. You know, I told her, I said, well, A, number one, you don't have to be a grammatical genius to write a book. A, number one, that's what they have editors for. That's what editors get paid to do. They will edit your work. They will edit your work, and they will proofread your work. It's not a problem at all because she is gifted. She's gifted. She's talented. You know, that's like somebody telling someone who doesn't have any legs, oh, you can't play basketball. You know, look at, what's his name, Spud Wedman. You know, years ago, He was very short. One of the basketball players who used to play with the Lakers, he was very short. And I'm sure all his life people told him, you'll never play ball. Forget about it. This guy went on to be one of the greatest ball players. So you can't go by what people say that you can't do. You have to, and I told her, I said, if I was you, that would be the driving force with me, just to do it because others said, I can't do it, or I can't, you know, do it in that area. So you've got to be motivated. You really want to live a supernatural, off the chart, high expecting life. You can do it. Now the next thing you have to work on is your habits. Okay, we could spend a whole week talking about how our habits drive our future successes and what have you. And that's just like Dr. Stephen Covey, who wrote the book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. That book, I don't know how many millions of copies he sold, millions and millions of copies, because he took something that is so powerful like habits, and he researched and he studied and he laid it all out, and he said, these 7 habits will make you highly successful. 7 habits that will make you highly, and so everybody ran out and bought that book. I'm talking about every manufacturer, every business owner, teachers, all kinds of people. And actually, I believe his son wrote the counterpart later, 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens, I believe, teens or students or something like that. Here, again, he's focusing on what? Habits. Why? Because everything we do is attached somehow to a habit. The fact that you have it in memory. You know, people smoke out of that. You hear people say, oh, it's a habit. People say, well, why do you bite your nails? It's a habit. Well, why do you do this or do that? It's a habit. We do a lot of things out of habit. So, you know, habits are good. We have good habits, and then there are also habits that we don't want to have. Your habit can be part of the problem or the solution. If you make it a habit to spend all your money before you know that you have enough to do what you need to do, well, then, yeah, we're going to stay broke. It's a habit. But if you likewise, you know, you as a habit, you make sure you have some saved, you make sure you lend some, and you make sure you spend some, then you will always have enough. It's just a habit. So, I encourage you, I challenge you to make a list of your habits. As a matter of fact, do that assignment. Let's do that assignment for tomorrow. We'll talk about that. I want to know, what are your habits? Do you make it a habit of waking up and saying, my day is not going to be great because I have to meet with so-and-so, because I have to go to my child's school and talk to the principal, whatever. I have to go to the doctor. I have to go here. I have to go there. Is that a habit of yours to say? Did you already speaking negative things before they even happened? You haven't even gotten out the bed good. You haven't even left the house yet. And you already planned bad things to happen in your day? No. We're not going to do that anymore. We're going to make it a habit. We're going to emit behavior, get this, that supports the things that I want. I want to be an international super model of motivational speaking. That's what I want. And I have to make my habits every day have to line up with what I want. And that's why I'm so amazed at yesterday, because one of the areas that I really want to get into that's very hard to get into is leadership training. It's very hard to get into that because the people who do it, they do it so well. And the places that they go, so, you know, you can get in it. Don't get me wrong. But everybody is as a speaker knows what I'm talking about. It's hard when you're just starting out. It's like any actor, any entertainer, it's hard to break in. But once you're in, you're in. But here, this is the very type of training that I told my boss I wanted to get into. And she says, oh, no problem. You'll do it next week. Put together a leadership training seminar. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. The very thing, you know, so you can make it a habit. You can make things a habit. And then the last thing that I want to point out for today, and I know we're just about out of time. Oh, the show is about to be over. And believe it or not, I can't even see my switchboard because my computer, I left my cord is not here. And so my computer did hibernate. So in case any of you are making comments in the chat room, I'm not there. And you probably can tell by now I'm not able to make anything. So there could be hopefully lively discussion going on, but I'm not a part of it because my computer cord is still in King of Prussia, where I was yesterday. So I turned my computer on, and it only had power for about 30 minutes or so. But I'm still here on the phone line. So habits, attitudes, motivation, got to get a handle on all this stuff. Write down your habits. I want to talk about them tomorrow. Habits of success, people. We are going to make it a habit. Therefore, nothing is going to be guaranteed us, but we will have a 99.9% shot at it based on if we get a hold of these things, our attitude, how we're thinking, how we're perceiving. You know, people say it's very hard to change your beliefs, but it can be done. And then the last thing is time. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. So tomorrow we're going to talk about habits and our time. Because they go together. I think they go hand in hand. What we spend our time doing becomes our habits. Whatever our habits are will suck away our time. And if the two are not matched up with the things we want in life, we're going to end up a very sad camper later. And we don't want that. We want you to live a life of fulfillment. That's what the Coach Elisa Show is all about. We want to help you fulfill a life of fulfillment. Now, I think we have maybe about a minute or two left to the show. So if anybody has a comment or a question, you can hit the number one key. Well, you know what? You could hit the number one key, but I probably wouldn't be able to pick it up because I don't have a computer. So I retract that. Don't hit the number one key because I'm only working with a phone at this point. But what I will say to you is that don't let anything stop you today from setting your expectations for the day high. If you haven't done it, it's okay. Do it as soon as you hang up this phone. As you hang up, start thinking high expectations. I expect supernatural, great, amazing things to happen to me today. Whatever business you're in, expect customers to come, new customers, new clients, expect it. If you're a teacher, go to school and expect those students to be great and amazing and expect them coming, willing to participate, everything. Expect, you know, like I said, with my students, I expected something great from them, and trust me, this is going to be the best semester I ever had because that's what I expect. And I'm encouraging you and challenging you to change your expectations. Make them great. We have about 30 seconds left to the show. I cannot hit the closing song, but you all know it by now. I absolutely love that song. I will see you back here tomorrow at the same time, 7 a.m. Go and encourage someone else to get this morning motivation, inspirational, and sensational empowerment talk. That's all I have for you today. This has been Elisa J. Williams, your coach. And remember, there ain't no stopping you or stopping your day. So go and expect greatness. And don't forget, write down your habits. That's your homework. You can do it. One or two habits. And we'll see you back here tomorrow.